All right, I'm going to talk a little bit about our papers that we've been working on. And as we were developing an ASTM standard to measure water content by Carl Fisher, we were trying to obviously see if we could match oven data. We weren't too successful all the time at measuring oven data, so we were trying to explore why. And as y'all know, measuring moisture content in the oven, you are doing a weight loss where Carl Fisher is specific for water. So we began to look at these different biases that may occur and try to identify them and quantify them. I'll talk a little bit about the terminology that Dr. Montalvo likes to use and give you a few definitions so you understand what we're doing. Then I'm going to show a flow chart of the experimental design that we did for this experiment to estimate these biases and see if we can get these two vastly different methods to match. Then we'll use the biases to correct the moisture content data and then match the water content by Carl Fisher with the moisture content by the oven. All right, when we went to the literature, of course, the first place you always want to start, we found a study from 1967 that took about 7 years to complete, and they were studying the differences and the inconsistencies in the oven drying methods. And they stopped short of identifying any particular biases, but they did say that an array of biases did exist, and this is what was contributing to the inconsistencies found. So then we extended our literature review, and lo and behold, we did find some papers that talk about residual water. This is the water that remains in your sample even after it's been in the oven for 24 hours. Some papers also talked about non-aqueous volatiles being released. So we tried to study that using mass spec and TGA, and we didn't find any specifics, no specific volatiles mentioned, but we did find some new biases, oxidation and particulate matter. And the oxidation paper was published last year with Dr. Chanel Forche, and you can read about that when you wish. And so we've also submitted a recent paper that talks about a few more biases, such as conditioning and ambient air exposure, and also blank Wang bottles. So here's the terminology that we'll be using. Equilibrium moisture content is the moisture content as found in the oven drying methods. This is a weight loss method as opposed to the equilibrium by water content, which is found by Carl Fisher. Equilibrium is obviously you're holding it at standard testing conditions. Now, what we do have with the water content is we have a glove box that's in a textile testing room, and we use saturated salts that are able to hold the humidity at a much tighter range. So we have 65 plus or minus 0.5% versus that 2% that's held in standard conditioning. Now, we have different oven drying methods that we use. We have four, and we'll turn them 1 through 4. And these are two different types of ovens, a mechanical convection oven, a gravity convection oven, and they're also located in two different labs. One's located in a conditioned textile testing condition lab, and one is in just a general room with house conditions. Then we also talk about different types of weighing bottles and then the amount of weighing bottles that are held in the oven. From this, we were able to identify six biases, and we also estimate these biases. So we talk about the residual water, I mentioned that, the ambient air exposure. We've noticed that some scientists will put over 100 samples in the oven at one time. So the oven is open, sometimes they'll actually pull out a tray of samples, put it on the lab bench, and close it up. So if you're dealing with 200 samples, sometimes these things are exposed almost 30 seconds to the moist air. So that can affect your moisture measurements. A blank Wang bottle, we use this in Carl Fisher all the time. This is a blank, nothing in it, it sits in the oven for 24 hours, and it does pick up a little moisture, so we wanted to take that into account as well. Particulates, this is kind of interesting. We had an oven and we have to keep cleaning it. So we're like, huh, maybe some particulates. So we put some double sticky tape and we could actually measure the amount of particulate matters coming off. Oxidation, again, Dr. Forche's paper, we confirmed that by FTIR, and conditioning, the plus or minus 2% versus that plus or minus 0.5%, which we can hold with the saturated salts. So then we have a total bias, where we actually just added up these biases and then added those to the moisture content and then compared it to the Carl Fisher. Here's the flow chart of our experimental design, and we had 12 raw cottons all grown in the same area and in the same crop year. That way we could eliminate any of those variables. We also had a control cotton, and again, we put these in the four different oven treatments, and then we corrected and then compared the two. Now, we have our experimental design here, when I'm going to go through all the oven drying methods. So for the first one, we had the samples conditioned in a glove box. So that was the one with the saturated salt, tighter humidity range. It was in the textile testing room in a gravity convection oven, so conditioned samples. We also put 12 tall, narrow vials. These vials mimicked the geometry of the Karl Fischer vials. We just kind of wanted to see. Oven drying two is the same scenario, but with the normal weighing bottles, and we just put six in at a time so that we could really control that, the ambient air exposure. So three and four, also textile testing room condition, and then the ovens, mechanical convection, are held in a non-conditioned room. One of them had 100 samples in at the same time, and one just six, again limiting that ambient air exposure. This is just a chart. We averaged all of the means for all 12 cottons, just for a big snapshot. Now, Karl Fischer gave a 7.83, and you can see the different oven drying methods. Again, one and two are in a gravity convection oven that was in the conditioned room. Three and four are in a non-conditioned room, mechanical convection oven. Oops. Oh, how do I go back? Ta-da! All right, this is just a pretty linear graph that talks about that residual water. That's the water that remains in the sample after drying. And so this would mean it's kind of inherent to the oven drying methods. And we see that it was an average of 0.36%. So then the ambient air exposures, again, when those samples are exposed to the moist air before they're capped and put into the desiccator. And we did it for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, and 30 seconds. And again, 30 seems like a lot, but if you do have 200 samples in an oven, it's not that inconceivable that they would be exposed to that much moisture. And you get about 0.5%. So pretty linear graph, and you can see that it does make an impact. So summing up all of our biases, when you sum them all up just algebraically, you can see for the different oven drawings that it's pretty significant. Then you see oven drawing four, and it gets pretty not so much. And again, three and four were the mechanical convection oven in the non-conditioned room, and one and two were in the conditioned room in a gravity convection oven. The big difference between three and four, three had all those, like 100 samples in at one time, and four just had the six. So then we got to thinking, some of these biases may be canceling each other out. What if we just add the absolute values? That could show us the total impact. And so you can see in the line below, when you add them all up, if all the biases were indeed going in the same direction, it could be pretty bad. So when we correct everything with just the algebraic sum, we really get no significant differences between the Karl Fischer and the oven drying methods. So with these non-exhausted lists of biases, we're able to get these two to match, which is what we wanted. We wanted to explain these differences. So in conclusion, we did get them to match statistically, and we see that there are many biases. We identified six that we were able to measure, and then we saw that in that oven drying method four, that sometimes these biases will cancel each other out. Then when you looked at the absolute value, you can see that these values can be very significant. Now, we know that moisture content with the particulates, with the oxidation, it's a lot more going on than just water being measured. So that is obviously a big problem. And then essentially, if we want to use the oven method, we might want to think about standardizing a little bit more. Do you put the oven in a textile testing room? Do you limit the amount of samples? So that way you can limit that ambient air exposure, which we found so impactful. So while everybody's doing their own thing, we're going to have differences. And so that's kind of the bottom line of the whole thing. Now, do I have any questions? Can I answer anybody's questions about anything?
Time for a couple of questions.
Yes,
can you explain the impact of oxidation on this bias and what's going on there?
Well, we noticed it by kind of a smell, and you could see a residue when we were doing distillation. And it was estimated and measured, and we just did a paper with Dr. Chanel on with the FTIR, remember the oxidation. So how impactful is it? It kind of can depend upon the cotton, but it was an impact. I don't remember the exact number, but that is in the publication.
Well, is it adding or taking away from mass?
The oxidation, it's adding. Do you want to add any more on that, Dr. Montalvo?
We can prove that oxidation has occurred. One is, we have a 2007 cotton. When you open dry it in a pint jar, you can smell the material that's burned. You can smell it burned. Secondly, we distill cotton at 105 degrees C in air, nitrogen, and in argon. And the particulate matter in air is about three times that what it is in nitrogen and argon.
Does oxidation occur? Is there a definite temperature above which it occurs and below which it does not? And have you studied different temperatures here?
No.
We did, actually. Remember with the FTIR, we did 105, 125, and 150. And 105 is obviously what you're doing the oven drying at, and 150 is the temperature that Carl Fisher uses. So we just did 125 just in between to see if we could get relationships.
So at 105, you believe oxidation still occurs?
You do see a little bit of oxidation. Yes, you do.
Oxidation goes to the wax or the fibers?
I'm sorry?
The oxidation.
Is it a cellulose or the wax?
Honestly, I don't know.
I think we showed in Dr. Chanel's paper that the cellulose was oxidized to a bialdehyde.
So, I mean, is cotton like washed before or after? Does it make a difference?
Well, we were just trying to mimic these oven drying. So we stuck the samples in an oven and saw what we got.
It was all raw cotton.
Yeah, it was all raw cotton.
The Fisher method, excuse me, I'm just
sure.
Not familiar. Is it, can you explain a little bit?
Oh, Carl Fisher titration?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Carl Fisher titration, essentially you're bubbling in nitrogen into a little sample that's dropped into an oven at 150 degrees. And then it sends all the moisture out. Then it titrates the iodine. And whatever's used in this reaction is proportionate to the amount of water in the sample. It's very specific for water, which is why the method was developed. I'm sorry.
So can it be used as the reference? Are you using it as the reference?
We do, because we have the ASTM method. But then you want to, the other ASTM method for moisture is oven drying. So we wanted to see why the two never seem to meet.
Would these biases that we found in this particular set of samples be fairly transferable to another set of samples if we wanted to correct the particular oven method?
We were estimating just to get an idea, and these were on commercially cleaned, they were scoured and bleached and mechanically cleaned samples just to get an idea, and that way we could eliminate any other variables with our control cotton. So how universal is it? Would I use this as a correction all the time? We were just basically trying to see if we could explain things. Fairly universal, but I mean, you'd have to do it for each and every cotton. Each and every location, each and every year, if you wanted to be exact.
Questions? Thank you, Carol.